everyone. What is up? Welcome back to the True Pit Podcast. It's September. Like, when did that happen? Absolute madness. Where did summer go, right? Speaking of which, hope y'all had a good summer. Got the bevs in, got the sunshine in. Now it's back to it, back to the grind. Today, I've got a really, really cool guest. It's Tom from Bury Tomorrow. Tom is the new vocalist in Bury Tomorrow, and you know, I think he's just such a talented bloke. Really looking forward to chatting with him today. So strap yourselves in for the listen. This is The True Pit with Harv Lake. All right, so today I am joined by the wonderful Tom from Bury Tomorrow. How are we doing, my fella?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Yes, I am very good. This is our fake conversation as if we haven't just started the conversation.
I've not just like said all this again, but we're saying
that we're
recording. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, man.
It feels proper when you do that, I think.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be official nowadays, haven't you? But yeah, man, how's you've had a busy fucking summer, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah, it's been a bit of an adjustment, but it's been cool. Like, it's been, it's a mad thing to kind of come in at something at that level, I suppose, being a nobody in, like, so essentially the metalcore scene. I was a nobody. I think I remember Slam Dunk, there were like all the little rumours going about before that, like, thought, oh, is it Jordan Fish? Is it Charlie Simpson? Is it whatever? Like, all these, like, just like, can you swear on this?
Go for it.
Just double checking it. All these random as fuck, like, just people putting in who they thought it was, and then obviously, who's that? And I know there's a level of pressure that comes with it as well, but it's been wicked, man. Just a bigger adjustment than I probably imagined it were going to be.
I mean, I couldn't even put myself in your shoes, man. That is just, you know, it's a lot. I mean, when you're hearing big names like that and stuff, and it's not like Bury are like a small time band at that point. They're, you know, selling out massive venues, and you know, it's a lot of pressure on yourself. So well done for stepping up. But more importantly, have you enjoyed yourself?
Oh yeah, man, I love it. I love it. And like the guys in the band are just like some of the most wonderful people I've ever met in my life. Like, yeah. So that were like a big part of, I think maybe it was a lot of pressure coming into it, and obviously I wanted to do justice to the kind of, they've been like 15, 16 years. I think it was 2006 they started.
Right.
So there's a lot of history behind it. And I just kind of wanted to make sure I did it to a level that they felt happy with, you know. So they put a lot of trust in myself and Ed,
the
guitarist, to come in and just kind of help move the band forward.
Yeah, totally.
And yeah, so it was like they made that situation way easier. So yeah. Like, it was always like a supportive environment.
Yeah, so, totally, man. That always helps when you surround yourself with like really good people, especially under really high pressure situations as well. But I've always heard that about Bury. Like, I've always heard that, you know, there's no VIP bullshit. It's just they're there for the fans, you know. Just a solid group of guys. So, and yeah, I mean, you're a solid guy too. So fit right in, I suppose, isn't it? But yeah, nice. I mean, I only caught you Bloodstock on the main stage. Which
yes,
was...
and I got your message like 3 days afterwards. You know, can you get me beside stage? I wouldn't have been able to get it had I not been so useless with my phone.
No, dude, it was so good. I was absolutely plastered at that point and just blasted with heat. And I was just like, do I try my luck? Yeah, go on then.
always try your luck.
Yeah, don't ask, don't get, right?
Yeah, man, that's the one.
Yeah, man. I think watching you guys and you do your thing, it was like, really fucking cool. But I think someone in the crowd shouted, "You guys sold out," or something. And Dan's like, "What? What? What did you say?" Like, he's just like, "You guys sold out." And he goes, "Oh, I think this is the first show that Tom's played that we get 'You guys sold out' from the crowd." And then there was this massive crowd chant of just going like, "Tom P, Tom P."
Oh, that's one of my mates from Barnsley.
Is it?
He started screaming Tom P. I think Dan couldn't hear him. So thank you to Brett for that. If he ends up listening to this,
that's amazing.
But I mean, respect him. Like, his knee were in bits, and he crowd surfed three times. They tried to take him off in a wheelchair a third time. I came out to find him afterwards, and he was just like laid out on a chair, like he did himself in.
Fucking hell! I mean, that's the definition of like go hard or go home, right? That is just
yeah. It went hard.
I think if you end up in a wheelchair in any situation, you've gone maybe too hard, but fair fucks.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Nice. What would be your favourite festival you played this summer?
That's a tough one. Yeah. The last one we did, Motoculture, like in France.
Oh, yeah.
That was a load of fun. Like, that just felt like we'd done Summer Breeze the day before, which were like, it's a big one.
It's a big one.
And there were like some moments in that, kind of looking back at people clapping. I'm like, this looks like a superimposed crowd. Like somebody's got CGI on my eyeballs. And to see that far backwards, and then to go from that to this like really cool French festival. It's got like a bit of a year and air vibe about it, like in the tents and very very heavy version of it. Like so we were like. Probably not even close to being the heaviest band there, but it was just so much fun. We played like really well. Got to just like kind of relax, being the last one of the summer afterwards. Met Nico from Electric Callboy.
Fucking sick, man.
Such a lovely dude. We caught their set at like 9 o'clock and it were insane. So then like it kind of finished the season at this death metal festival, we just everybody's losing the shit. It was ridiculous.
I feel like if that song comes on, you just got to do it. You know, it's fucking like that came out during the pandemic, right? And I was just like, this is what we needed right now. Just something fucking stupid and amazing at the same time.
They're undeniable, like bangers. Like it's ridiculous, and then to see that translate live. We're just dead good. It's like at a death metal festival, it's kind of it's random to look at and be like, yeah, sick. It's like if the music's good, it works. So that one were a lot, Motoculture, a lot of fun. In between that or Hellfest.
Oh, that was a fucking stacked lineup this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were ridiculous. It were really, that were a lot of fun, and it were like, sorry.
Hey, you're fine.
Just before we started, I took out some bit. But yeah, just it was kind of everything about the Hellfest set. Well, we started as it was getting dark.
Yeah.
And then obviously, as it starts to kind of get dark, they bring all the pyro. So then, literally, there's just flames going flying everywhere. There's this huge circle pit. And then Rise Against run after us. So it like, and I'm a huge Rise Against fan.
I couldn't tell from your t-shirt.
Oh, shit, yeah. Man. I didn't even clock that then. I would not wear this in front of them though. It's the most bootleg thing I've ever bought in my life.
Oh, no.
Pretty good on the internet, and it is not.
Oh, if you would have been like fucking it, Rise Against, I'd just be like, I don't think you do, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, fair fucks, man. Fair fucks. Okay, so obviously you're in Bury tomorrow now. You've been there for what, like a year or so?
I think it's like a year this weekend. Well, Slam Dunk were a year. It was September last year, weren't it?
Wow.
Yeah, well.
Damn. I mean, we'll get onto that, but I don't know anything about your musical history. Like, you're clearly like a very talented songwriter. You're playing fucking, you got a drumstick in your hand, you got fucking keyboards, you're singing on stage. like what's your journey, man? Talk to me.
I'm a guitarist.
First. Okay, right.
So, I went to college I love punk. I love just hardcore punk. I love metal. It's always been kind of, that's been my music since kind of, I think probably finding The Offspring in, whenever they released Pretty Fire for a White Guy, I saw them on top at Pops at my mate's house, and I'm like, I want to do that.
Okay,
and it took a few years. I went to college, did some tech stuff to learn, start learning production. So did a like a tech uni degree, which were fun.
Totally useless though, isn't it?
Oh, mate, Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, I've done one. I'm just like, that got me nothing. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, what it did do is like I've always thought like the most important part of anything like uni is the people you meet.
Yeah,
and I and in without meaning to, I met people that kind of. that it helped me kind of make a full-time career in music. I was a teacher for a few years.
Nice.
And then just kind of like, I can see the end of that story and I don't really want to do that. So I quit, just got like a job working in NHS.
Right, yeah.
And like just gigging in different bands, doing like function stuff like weddings and just writing music. And then randomly I ended up finding I got called by a guy that I used to know at uni who were like, I work for this publisher and one of his clients is Sky TV. Like, they want like an indie rock song. I know you do that kind of thing. Do you want to do it? So like, yeah, sound. So I did that. Like, literally 3 weeks later, it's on like a Sky Premier advert. Same. And we're getting paid for it. So then this is like, oh, right, there's this other avenue. So then for the last 6 years, I've been doing production music and like just gigging and doing function stuff. I've known Dawson from bands from years and years and years ago, and we're both lefties, so we kind of connected on that initially. Okay, yeah. When he were in like Am White Stars, like way back when I was doing production stuff, I helped record one of their EPs, and we used to gig together. We kind of kept in touch, and then we started jamming a few years ago, and we did little bits of the production music stuff together, and we're writing a different project, just like, because we both love Thrice as well. So we did like, we had a few of our mates from back in the old town days. So we just wrote some tunes that we loved. And then randomly, he calls me one day and he's like, do you want to fill in for Berry? And I'm like, fucking yes, I do. Like, that's mad. But so that's kind of my story. It's like, I've come from nowhere in like the professional music scene in that sense. But I've built up like just like production music, so a lot of stuff for library, adverts, that kind of thing. So that's my journey to this point.
Wow.
I suppose, and a long way. I've got the drumsticks and the key. I learned myself piano. I learned drums. Just whatever like lets you write a song.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that were always my, and I was a guitarist first, but it's always like the instrument has always served the function of like getting a song done.
Yeah, man.
That's always been my, the thing that I've loved doing.
I completely agree. Like, I'm a multi-instrumentalist too. Like, I've been, it was drums, and then I was just like, you know, this is not enough. I need to learn guitar at the same time. And then been singing for like the past like 4 years. And, you know, it's when it comes to songwriting, you're almost like, when a guitarist writes a drum part and he's not a drummer, and you're like, mate, I don't have five limbs. Like, you know, this is not achievable. But like, when it comes to songwriting, it's really useful when you know how each organ works, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Definitely, mate. Definitely.
Although I do need to shape up on the piano, I think, because I think that's helpful with melodies. I think, you know, just sitting there, just having a fiddle, just. That sounds really bad out of context, actually. Piano.
Someone's going to cut the audio out of context.
Nah, man. Uncensored. Let's keep it going.
Like, piano's a bit of everything, though, because you've got the rhythm, because you've got the hammers, and then you've got bass, and you've got melody. So, like, there's a lot of components within that anyway, which also makes it fucking hard to be really good at.
Yeah, man. No. Yeah.
Which I'm all right. I can use it to write a song, but I would not call myself a pianist.
Okay. So what is the main thing you're doing live with Berry? Like, obviously you're singing. But you've got like a lot around you. Like, talk me through that. What's where?
So I've got a Razor. Shout out Razor, fucking it up.
Right. Nice.
Running Ableton. And then that's basically got some like this, some just like synth sounds, like some kind of paddy ones, some more tacky ones. Then I've got an SPDX that's got like sub drops, hats, snare, keg,
nice
sounds on it. Got like a two toms,
nice,
and that's it for the minute. And then there's a lot of the other stuff. We run a U track that's got like sort of any transitional stuff. Myself or me and Dawson have kind of written and put together using stems and
nice.
Just to help like the set flow. So there's a lot of pre-production stuff with it. And then kind of augmenting that with live synths.
Nice. Do you ever forget to play the flowy bits between the songs?
Oh, never. Not even once.
Because you're like, yes, I fucking nailed that song. And it's just like Dan looking at you, just like, where's the fucking, like, where's anything?
I get too into it sometimes. I've got too into it a couple of times. I'm like, shit, what key is it? Or, like,
what song is this? What band am I in? Where are we?
Yeah, I mean, luckily we've got, like, in the ears, we've got intros to all the songs. So, like,
oh, nice.
As soon as that play hits, it's like, this is the song you're doing in two bars. And then it's like, right, nice. Try to foolproof it as much as possible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. So, how does, you've told me through your journey and, like, where we're at. How does your songwriting beforehand now go into Berry? How did that, was it quite easy just going, right, oh, I need to write these songs now, like, here's my input, or was it a bit more, this isn't really my style, but I'm going to try it anyway, or was it a bit of both?
It's, funnily enough, like, I'm trying to think of the way it is, like, what, the first thing, so before any of this conversation happened, me and Dawson were doing bits of writing, and yeah, I'm like, oh, do you know what, let's write a metal tune, let's just see what happens. I've sure. got like I've got an 8-string in my studio, so I'm like, and we're both lefties, so which is perfect. So we just spent a bit of time just riffing, and we just made this instrumental, and we're like, that's fucking great. It just sits there, and then we write another one, and then there's another one, and it's all really organic, just kind of writing for just the love of writing, I suppose. No real purpose beyond just writing what we perceive to be a banger. And I think there's a lot of crossover in the things that make a good song anyway. And like Dawson's like one for like taking influence from loads of different styles, and so am I.
Nice.
So we're just writing these instrumentals in the midst of this. They've been sat there for a while. I get a call from Dawson saying, I've got an idea. I'm going to do vocals and synth. I'm going to ask this other kid, Ed, to play guitar. And that will kind of, we're going to fulfill the commitments of gigs.
Sure.
With obviously like the situation that they had. And then I can't remember how it happened, but Dan heard one of the instrumentals that me and Dawson had done. They're like, that's fucking great. And then he starts sending back and forth these ideas. Again, just with the pretext of just see what we can write.
Nice.
And in the middle of all this, we end up kind of going, like, this prevailing opinion of, like, let's just carry on. Like, let's make this a thing moving forward. And Death and Life kind of came within that process. So the two latest singles were already written, in a sense, before any of it even started. That's with kind of like the instrumentals that kind of lived, and they changed, like they got pulled apart and went to studio with Weller, and they became what they are now. They were like in quite different forms then. But yeah, so it's been like the actual writing process is like super inclusive and really like it feels like stuff that I've done before with other writers. It's just the style is different. But it's a style that I love anyway.
Love it.
And almost just kind of finding what my strengths are within it, because also being aware that, you know, Berry have got a sound that they've crafted and it works for them. And I suppose I see my part in that as being like, well, I feel like I'm pretty good with melodies and production stuff, and so I'm going to offer what I've got to it, yeah. And then we can have discussions, and maybe this works, maybe that works, maybe something else works. And yeah, so it's been like, there's little guitarists in there that I've done, there's like big melody parts that Dan wrote, the same with, there's big melody parts that Dawson writes as well. So it's in, and then after, and everybody gets involved at different parts, I suppose, with the examples that we're talking about, it's just that it kind of just started with us three on that bits, but then everybody else has input as the song progresses. And I suppose everything is to like serve the song as an end product. Sure. So like, yeah, whatever it is, it's like the ego in it, because you know, everybody's got ego to a different level. It's always to serve the song. So like even a disagreement, like, oh, maybe it should be this or maybe it should be that, or agreement, everything's productive.
Yeah.
Which is it's a very nice environment to write in, and it means you get to the best end product, I think, as well.
So with all that in mind, I mean, it's not a life or death situation, but life or death, which one's your favorite? I'm gonna be that cunt
Oh
today.
man.
Yeah, I'm giving you that shitty question.
It's not a shitty question at all. Death for me
Yeah.
as a just the journey of it, I think. But I'm saying that I'm like, oh, I really like life as well. But that's almost aimed as like a festival banger. Like you see people bouncing when that kicks in.
What, to
And
life?
like to like yeah, I mean
Right,
you see
yeah.
it with both you see it's really cool to see it with both of them, to be fair, because I suppose they're the first instances of a song that we've wrote together
Yeah.
that comes out live. So I've been doing like Choke the Grey, which are fucking huge tunes,
Big tunes, yeah.
and then you see it also going off when Death kicks in. Like it was the third song that we've been doing on this run, so that's fucking insane. And then it's kind of got this journey to it. So like the pre-chorus where the Death comes in for me, is like a massive chuggy riff, and it just sounds insane.
So
Like,
that halftime bit before the chorus, right? Dun, 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 dun,
yeah.
dun. Oh, I was just like, yeah. I've been blasting them in my car basically since they came out. But I think
Thank you very much, mate.
I mean,
Appreciate
yeah, all those millions of streams, just me.
it.
but I think I struggle to pick between the two because they're such different tracks, but they bring so much to the table. I really like Life because of that proper metally riff at the start, you know, just four to the floor, just like da-na-na-na-da. I was just like, yes, this is a bit of
Yeah.
me. And then just a huge chorus. But Death's got this almost like clubby kind of vibe to it. I know that might be weird.
That song, before it was what it is now, it was called Dance Party Hard. The Lunch Logic Session. It was like, oh, those were like, oh, let's use some like 90s house rep, like that kind of. It's a proper dance. It's a dance tune. So yeah, it's interesting that you see that as well. But I like the dynamics, like everything drops like right down in the middle, and then there's like just unadulterated, just two note dum dum dum, and it sounds just. And then there's the little poly riff at the end that runs around, and it's kind of. I like the little Easter egg in song when you take something once, so like it's the pre-chorus, and then it becomes a repeated outro of a different chords. And like rising, so it kind of adds to this grandeur of an outro. So I love shit like that. If you get like little get a melody in the first half of a song, if it's something that you wouldn't necessarily call it a chorus, it's a pre-chorus, or it could be a verse, and then you introduce it over a bigger section towards the end, and it just gives it this like whatever the effect is. I just really like it. So for that
Nice.
reason. And then the stuff with life's got it's got all the same ingredients, I feel like, but just in a different way. I'm a sucker for like the like a big riff at the end, and the kind of Funeral for a Friend bridge part with the snare first. So yeah, there's bits that I'm very proud of them, and I'm glad that I could have a part in kind of creating it, and for it just to be received as it was, I suppose. That's what I don't really think about which is my favourite that often. I think that, we felt as a group that Death should be the first one, and then Life coming out before the festival season, like you said with that first big riff, it's like that feels like it's made for that kind of stage. So.
I mean, it's. I think Barry have always been that, but I think before I knew you or anything, I think I was just like, what are they going to do? This is a shit situation. Like, what's going to happen? Like, and I've said to you before, like, you had some big boots to fill, like some big
Oh
boots to
yeah.
fill, and you fucking smashed it. Like,
Thank you,
you've
mate.
filled those boots and then some. Like, you've got the bigger feet, in my opinion.
That's very kind, mate.
But I
Thank you.
think also, not to mention these two tracks that have been released since you've been in the band, but having to perform everything else? Like, how did you approach that?
Again, there's like big credit to the guys with that for saying just do it as you.
Nice.
But yeah, just I suppose it was a big case of finding whatever my voice was gonna be within that. Obviously, I'm not a baritone. I'm a tenor, so right. The range is kind of a lot of the melodies sit on my break. So it's finding a way to push or project or fry or whatever needs to happen to give it the appropriate energy in whatever part of the song. Something like More Than Mortal being like a perfect example. The false gods are here. Like to find, to get that power, but I'm not belting at the top of my range. I'm like somewhere in the middle and kind of, that little kind of forced fry sound to kind of give it that the energy,
the gravitas, like, yeah. I got you.
The gravel tas.
Is that how you say up north?
Oh yeah, I don't think a lot of people know what gravitas was. Yeah, mate. that's unfair. but no, it were interesting. It was a very strange first, like the audition practice were like, this is a bit fucking real. but yeah, then it was an interesting, like the first rehearsal, because we didn't have ears, we were just practicing, just in a practice room like you would.
Nice.
With any band. And I didn't really know like, how to approach different songs or do whatever. So we had a couple of hours practice and I'm like, I'm not really sure if what I'm doing is right or what I'm doing is not right. So took a bit of a gamble. Like, I want to get it all out of the way right away. So like I sang a cappella and I'm like, what do you want for this section? What do you want for that section? And we kind of built the way I sing it collaboratively. And then that changed as we gigged it.
Nice. Okay. That makes sense. I mean, fair fight. I mean, what would be your favourite song that obviously you haven't written with the guys to perform? What would be your go-to BT track?
That's an interesting one. I really like singing Knife for Gold and Earthbound.
Nice. Yeah. I fucking love Knife for Gold. It's just like blast, man.
Yeah. I also we've not done it since we did it Slam Dunk and the four gigs afterwards, but Lionheart were always a lot of fun to sing.
Which one?
Lionheart.
Yeah.
I really like the melody in that tune and the rhythm of it, and it's just the places it sits in a place that is almost like very comfortable for me to sing.
Okay, nice.
So
it's a song you can really enjoy without having to like worry too much.
There's a nice little like held notes that you can kind of fry up a little bit if you want, or just hit them clean. That were a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, nice. I mean,
and then that's got the whole thing about it, it's like a real classic Berry tune as well. So like when you hear when it starts, like generally speaking, people just lost the shit. So that's always like a lovely situation to be a part of.
Oh, totally, man. I mean, they've always had a huge fan base, and it's just I think they've welcomed you with open arms, I think. Mostly.
Yeah.
Mostly, I think. You know, you're always going to get the internet people, but, you know, like, I think mostly, I haven't seen anything, but, you know, I think it's been a huge response to you, and, you know, hats off to yourself, because, you know, even Death being the first song being put out, like, that's a quiet start, and you're on your own. Like, there's nothing with you apart from that synth, you know? It's just, that's, you know, that was a ballsy move, and I was just like, fine, it's like, where did we go? I was just like, fucking have it. I was just like, yes. gets me gassed up, man. Gets me gassed up.
No, thank you, mate. Thank you. But no, it's good. I'm forever grateful for the opportunity, and to the guys in band, to everybody that's like in their team, and obviously the fans being the most important part of everything. Everybody I've talked to, it's like, it's just been overwhelmingly positive. I think the only one that I witnessed that wasn't when we did the gigs, like the four gigs afterwards, we were like a meet and greet after.
Right.
And this lovely lady came up and she just looked at me and she went, "I'm not sure." Thank you for the honesty, but I appreciate it.
Like, oh, fucking savage. With the hand gestures.
yeah, man. But yeah, internet stuff is what it is. Do you know what I mean? It's, yeah. I think you can't avoid it. I've stuck to my guns and I've not looked at comments.
Yeah.
So, because that just feels like a rabbit hole to me.
Yeah, Matt, I think it's... You know, like with my band and stuff, like we've changed style quite a wee bit over the past year. We've just gone full on like modern metal kind of thing, away from the hardcore scene and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I went from screaming to singing. But you know, people are just like, you know, they don't really think because they're an outsider. And when they talk about your music and it's just like, it's your literal child. Like, this is something I've created. Fuck off. But also at the same time being like, okay, I get that. But this is the best version of what I've created. So, you know, it's just like, deal with it. So I admire you for not looking at comments. I'm too much of a... I'm scrolling through, man. I'm just like, yeah, shouldn't have done that. Should not have done that.
it's like the temptation is there for real. Do you know what I mean? It's a difficult thing for me to resist. But then I'm like, no matter what I see, it's. I think that the process of just getting to whatever like you guys feel is the best end product. It's a shame if that's then tainted by. Opinions of people, and you know, it's. I get it. You can't be everybody's cup of tea. And
no.
Sometimes it's also maybe like a state of understanding that wherever these, if you're getting hateful comments or whatever, who's it coming from? Like, what are they going through? Is it a reflection of their mood, or is it a reflection of what they're going through that they take it out externally on somebody else, or is it just that your music's shit?
It's usually a cocktail of all those things. I mean, very, very, very wise words there, man. You know, I think sometimes I need to smell the roses a bit and just sort of take myself away from it and just, you know. I'm also aware that, like, you haven't heard my band, but I'm making it sound like it's actually shit. We're all right. Like,
no, mate, I like it. I've listened.
Oh, have you?
Yeah,
I was just like... Fucking hell, it's just
you have
like.
To get me, when you're playing up north, sort us out with a couple of guest lists, I'll come with.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. I mean, we're playing up north in October. I mean, it might not be north to yourself.
I'm also talking.
Bolton.
Bolton's not too bad.
Dudley.
Lost me on that.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure where Dudley is either.
Are we talking like the beginning of October or the end of October?
Beginning of October. I think it starts on the 6th.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, fuck
it. I'd love to come. Like we start pre-production on like the 15th or the 16th. So
oh, nice.
I'm here.
Smashing. All right. I'll hook you up, man, with the show. You get to come to a VIP Ruiner show. You know, it's not.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, yeah. Playing fucking Hellfest and going to some bar in Bolton. Fuck yeah, man.
Music's music, man. It's sick.
So, with all your songwriting, being one of the biggest UK metal bands in the world, you are now. I know you're looking at me like, am I? Yes, you are.
It's an adjustment period.
Yeah, like, this isn't real still. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? What are your top three artists, man? Like, what's your jam?
Top three artists. Jeff Buckley.
Nice, bit of Grace.
That's the one.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish you pre-warned me.
Fuck off. Get fucked.
I'll have to go Rise Against, because they were just like changed my life.
Did they? Were they? You were like,
Revolutions per minute were just like, nice. I heard it, I was like, fuck. Like, it can be this good. And like, Tim McGrath's voice is just unreal.
Yeah, man. It's like, it's not a band I've overly delved into, but like, what would you say to someone that's really uneducated, apart from like probably heard Saviour in a club?
For me, obviously, like, I do think that music, it's got like, especially when it's stamped in a moment in time in your life, like there's a big thing of nostalgia. So I'm having this conversation, I can't remember who with, but basically the argument was posed that a band has two great albums.
I disagree, but my
kind of thoughts on it is like, but when did those two albums happen in your life?
Yes, yeah, so, I know where you're leading with this.
So for me, Revolutions Per Minute, Like the Angel were on, Tony Hawk's Underground,
right?
And they heard it, like, what the shit, this is amazing. And I found them through that, and then they had that and Iron Songs. They've got an album before that, The Unraveling, as well, which is really cool. But for me, like, if you're going to check them out, I started on Revolution Per Minute and Siren Songs at Counterculture, and just kind of my late teens were spent with that. And for me, it's just amazing, just punk, like virgin on hardcore punking.
Nice.
In sections, and his voice is just so fucking good, man.
He's cool, isn't it? Like, it does. Yeah. It does stick out. It's like when you put on some bands and you're just like, yeah, I know who this is now. Like, I've never heard the song before, but I know who that singer is, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll go check that out. But I totally get what you mean. Like, nostalgia is such a powerful thing. Like, I mean, to this day, my favorite band since I was like 7 years old has been Bullet for My Valentine. You know, like pop and metal together. I fucking love it. You know, catchy, heavy riffs for days, big guitar solos. And I have this conversation a lot with people. They're like, oh, they've only had like, first two albums were great. And I'm just like, it's probably because that's when they're most famous. And I'm just like, have you tried checking out the other stuff? Which is like, in my opinion, way fucking better.
Yeah.
But they're like, no, I didn't listen to anything since then. You know, it's just like, because they're no longer relevant in that person's life because they've matured, unlike myself, whereas I just still want to keep listening to cheesy
matter. It does not matter. It's a personal thing. It's like a subjective thing. Like, if you love it, fucking listen to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Third band, Six.
Oh, nice. Okay. All right. That is proper experimental stuff, isn't it? That's. I think I saw, who did I see them live with? Trivium. It was Shapes, Sixth, and Trivium. So like a real mixed lineup. But Sixth were fucking great, and they just brought out their latest record at that point, which I really vibed with because it was a bit more songy as opposed to like poetry. Like, do you know what I mean?
Oh, man, those spoken word bits that Mikey did, it's just like you see him live and the crowd does it for him. Like, it's insane.
It's
like, it's such a cool thing to watch.
Yeah.
Like, the most diehard of fans. Like, but that opened my eyes to, I think, a level of musicality that was just like, oh, fucking hell. And then you see like bands like Periphery start coming through later on, and like, you know, Spencer Tlato is just like, his voice is just horrendous. It's like, save a bit for the rest of us.
Yeah, it's
got everything.
It's offensive. Like, you know, people should cancel him because he's just taken all the fucking talent. Do you know what I mean? I saw a video of him just like out the back of like this tiny venue, and he was going from the lowest to the highest. And I was like, no, you don't get to have that. Like, you don't get to have that, man. Like, oh, man. But yeah, I like the relationship between Periphery and Sixth as well. Because obviously Spencer went on a Sixth track, and then the bloke from Sixth went on a Periphery track. I was just like, that's nice. That's cool. Speaking of which, if you want to come on one of my band's tracks, just let me know, because I'll have you.
Sure, man, I'll be sick.
Okay, so top three artists, and so that's the gig. So Jeff Buckley, Back From The Dead, headlining. We're having, what, Rise Against, and then Sixth on the bottom, right?
Yeah, go on then. Yes. I struggle to order. I mean, I'm saying them three, and I'm like, There's so many more bands as well, but we'll be here all day.
Okay, so Sixth, what you're going to the bar? What are you drinking?
Oh, Mate. I'll have a spice rum and coke for sixth, actually.
Okay. Single or double?
Will keep me, double, but the sugar will keep me awake while I'm listening to it.
Okay, all right. So we're having a spice double rum and coke during sixth, and then your nostalgia band's on, Rise Against.
Rise Against. I'm on the pints.
You're on your pints. What's your tipple, sir?
Oh, I love this IPA boom.
Yes, fuck yeah.
It's so good, man. It's so good. I mean, obviously, it depends. I feel like we're doing like the off menu thing.
Yeah, why not?
It depends what they've got on tap, I suppose. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Neck Oil. The Beaver Town stuff is really good. And most places have it these days.
Yeah, it's because Heineken bought a man, so they're fucking everywhere now.
Yeah. See, I'm not that on it.
Oh, I am. Which is, but yeah, I fucking love the IPA stuff, man. Like, when I first moved to this side of the country, to Bristol, I was just like, right, I need to go work for a brewery. And I started working for Tiny Rebel. And
oh, mate, that's sick.
Oh, so good, man. Like, and this was where everything, like the head brewery, like brewery bar. And dude, honestly, I drank so much good beer, like, oh, man, just such tasty stuff. But yeah, I do like a bit of Neck Oil, and it is everywhere. It's everywhere now.
Yeah, which is, it's a nice thing. It's like, you know, you can get a good pint.
Yeah,
and there's loads of places that are doing like the 500ml cans as well, like the Restoration IPAs, and
yeah,
like loads of different ones. And that's all like, I mean, I'm happy to pay a bit more for a good beer. It's nice not to have cars. it's like a taste optional lager.
Yeah.
Like the first bit, and then it just turns into fizzy water.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think I'm a sucker for Coors when, after I've gone through my, like, meal beers, do you know what I mean? Like, beers, when you drink it, you're just like, it feels like I'm eating this, you know, you can't see through the fucking glass because it just looks like a pint of orange juice. It's so fucking hazy.
So Coors is your palate cleanser?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Fair enough. Not water. I'm not having a pint of water.
No, that's, you've got to stay hydrated, man, but I'm not, you know, not having fucking rain, am I, you know? So, okay, but for the headliner, Jeff Buckley, he's mysteriously back from the dead. Well, are we continuing with the pints?
I think we'll have to go to wine.
Oh, wow.
It feels like a wine guy.
Yeah, all the tables come out and we're all just going to sit down and just...
Yeah, that's it.
You know.
It all gets a bit bougie.
Yeah, wait in the fire.
Yeah.
All right. What wine, though?
Oh, mate. I mean, we're not worrying about hangovers, are we?
No.
This is a dream gig, so it's... I like red. Primitivo or something like that. It's like,
I love it. Nice.
That's for me.
Nice. Fantastic. Fantastic. Well,
the dream gig thing is I like that bit.
You like that bit, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not remotely professional, dude. I just love chatting to people, but you know, that's I'm glad you enjoyed my creative outlet in that way.
It is indeed.
Yeah, rather. All right, I think we need to get on the red wine in a minute, mate, don't we? Well, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, man. It's been really nice to actually get to have a conversation with you. Yeah, let's go for pints soon and stuff. Especially when we're up north. We're up north. Before you go, what's your plug? How can people find you on social media? Should we be looking out for anything in particular anytime soon?
Oh, you should, but I can't say anything.
You should
definitely always be looking out.
Oh, blimey. Is that a threat?
No. That sounds like one, though, doesn't it? Mask. But no, man, there's some cool stuff coming up. So, obviously, thank you to everybody who's supported.
Yeah, no.
This journey, like, either personally or, like, fan base, it's sick.
Totally, man. Totally. Well, absolute pleasure, man. All right. Fake goodbye.
Peace.
Bye. Where do I belong if pressure takes over this weight I can shoulder?
Burn up!